The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Good evening, everyone. As I am in the correct time zone, let me be the first to wish you a happy June. Yes, we're already at that time of year, and this means we're over 3 weeks away from yours truly's birthday. As I had a little bit of an interesting incident last night, if you so desire, I have wish lists. Not saying anything, but I am open to DMs as far as potential purchases. And if you were to throw some cash in my PayPal for some potential deviance and shenanigans, also accepted. But, on a serious note, unfortunately I must start another podcast with another remembrance, as there was a tragic incident, this time in a more forgotten about region of the world, as there was a suicide bomber in Kabul, Afghanistan. Current death toll stands at over 90, and the current injury toll stands at over 400, which really unfortunate is this didn't just affect one nation alone, as you had Afghan nationals protecting the U.S. embassy, U.S. contractors, and members of the BBC, all was part of the victims. Unfortunately, in all of the hubbub, as you would say, it's forgotten that because of the mindsets of bombers like this, just about anyone can be targeted. As a matter of fact, 95% all targets and victims in these bombings happen to be other Muslims. Now, as we are in within the first week of the holy month of Ramadan, this takes on an even greater meaning and an even greater sense of loss within the Muslim community. So, no matter where you are, no matter what you see on the news, know that this happens to anyone. And unfortunately, loss of human life is still loss of human life, regardless of how certain networks would want to spin it. That said, if you are a member of the Abrahamic faith, take note of this. If you are not a member of the Abrahamic faith, take note of this as well, as no matter who you believe in, who you pray to, if you do, we as humans are all connected. There's 7 billion of us, and we're only living on one giant ball. Think about that. And again, for the victims, I offer a moment of silence. Well, now that being taken care of, hello and confetti to another episode of Point of Viewer. Oh boy, this week, dear sweet Lord. I'm gonna give one particular topic out of the way first. Tiger Woods, legend, icon, one of the great ones in the game of golf. Thanks to his ex-wife going batshit crazy in hitting him with a 9-iron. At least, if I remember correctly, it was a 9-iron. Well, that fucked up his back. And because his back was fucked up, he struggled to play, struggled to win. And because he struggled to play and struggled to win, and his back was fucked up, he's required, or he's needed, multiple surgeries. He's just coming off of number 4. And because he still has desires to play, although his back was fucked up, unfortunately, he can't do the right thing for his body and smoke a little weed. Instead, he has to resort to several different pharmaceutical medications. If I read the reports right, it's 4, including Vicodin, which one of the more infamous, borderline notorious ones, to say the very least. But because of all of these, he went out for a little drive, which is a very, very bad idea. And he was found asleep at the wheel, car off to the side of the road. The cops, doing their job, got him to take a field sobriety test, which he failed. And although he blew 0.00 into the breathalyzer, that meant there was no alcohol in his system. Unfortunately, because of the letter of the law and the particular statute, he was still indeed charged with DUI. Now, I want to say, DUI, different than DWI. DWI, driving while intoxicated. You're drunk. Just about only you're drunk. DUI, driving under the influence. That covers illicit drugs, prescription medications, everything else under the sun that would impair your judgment. Now, he was processed, originally arrested around 3 a.m., processed, released approximately 7:18 a.m. So we're looking at about a 4-hour time frame. And all of this went down just Monday. He came out, thanked the police officers for doing their job, accepted full responsibility, saying and doing all of the right things. And I do respect him for that. However, what necessarily does this mean for him? How far has he really fallen? One day, you're talking about Tiger chasing the records, winning 18, 19, 20 majors, being one of the greatest golfers that ever lived, if not the greatest golfer that ever lived. Then his private life leaks out, which it really shouldn't have in the first place, but it did. Wife finds out of indiscretions. She pulls the typical insane woman, throws things, hits him, does this and that. Then he handles the spiral with class. Does the public apology, accepts the loss of sponsors, tries to just get back on the mend with his life, with very little animosity. But now, years later, he's still feeling these residuals. Now a man only in his early 40s, you see what he's reduced to. Still young, still somewhat vibrant, but instead of being known as the Golf Maestro, or the Wunderkind. He's another mugshot you see on the Lexus Sports Center, or the Herd, or whatever sports media you consume. It's out there. I'm probably one of the few that feels bad. Yes, he made several mistakes. Yes, he did have to admit to them. Yes, he still is in the middle of atoning for them. But does it have to be this? Reduced to a man having to pop pills just to feel normal, just to even survive and go to work? Is he really deserving of this? And again, with this role of society, how your life affects your job and everything is out there. ESPN was, you could say, nice enough to touch up his hair and his mugshot picture, make him look a little more decent, but even then, he was still clearly out of it. He's got a lot of things going on and a lot of things to try to handle. This just doesn't help. Have we really reduced a great athlete to this rubble? How did we let this happen? How could we let the mighty have fallen this far? I guess in part I'm saying we need to take a look at ourselves as a collective, as a society, for our reaction to everything. Then the media, then sponsors, then everyone, corporate. All of the mechanisms behind this. Because things like this have happened for generations. It's just now with technology and data being so much easier to access, it comes out in the public. Much more proliferated, much, much quicker, all of these things. And I guess when we see the collapse happening in front of our eyes, it doesn't hit us the same way. And because of this collapse, I don't know if he's ever going to bounce back from this. If what happened originally wasn't bottom, if what happened subsequently wasn't bottom, if this isn't bottom, then you have to wonder what is. And if he hasn't hit that yet, that's a very long-term, very lingering issue. And when you have these long-term, lingering issues, they stack up with other lingering issues you didn't even realize you had. Go back to the rock and fame of its early days. Go back even farther to his childhood, which was nothing but golf. No freedom to go around, running around just being a kid. No, you're on TV on the spotlight, 4 or 5 years old. 6, 7, 8 going on. Tournaments, the pressure, trying to strive to be rich and famous. It happens with a lot of sports. You see Friday night tights with football. You see the short game with other young golfers. You see it in tennis, baseball. You pick something, anything, and you drill it into a little kid. That's all they're going to be known for. they are no longer themselves. They are the game. But then what happens when physically or mentally they're done? Or even worse, the game is done with them. You're going to get more incidents like the Tiger Woods. You're going to see shame, humiliation, down spirals on a regular basis. So this means a lot for him as an individual. It means a bit for golf as a sport. This is just big because it's avoidable, both in the immediate and starting way, way back at pick a beginning that you choose. And unfortunately, this is a continuing trend. If you have kids, let them go and have fun. Let them do multiple sports. It's better for their bodies. Don't let them burn out and lose their identity because they're good with a ball or a bat or a club in their hand or something. Take away the gear, take away the pads, take away the jerseys. Let them figure out who they really are, what they really are, and accentuate that. Tiger never got that chance. Tiger was always out in the public, and still is. Now look at him. And the thing is, that could happen to a lot of people. Fish bowls have always been clear for a reason. You see in, the fish also sees out. The only difference is, they're lucky that their memories are only 3 seconds. Hours, years, and with fleeting preservation, thanks to a click or a couple of clicks, it's forever. So no matter what you do, you're going to be remembered forever for something, multiple things. Now, this is just one more thing that sadly Tiger's going to be remembered for. And whether he goes on to break that record or not, this is going to be a part of this chapter. This is going to be in the note of history. Whereas we all know it really shouldn't be. In other sports news, as we are in June, it's finals time. Now I'm coming to you fresh off of Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final, which I've nearly beaten to death my feelings about Nashville, how I want them to do, and what it would mean for their city. But unfortunately, so far, it hasn't materialized. Had a goal disallowed in Game 1 on a challenge. Found themselves down 3-0. Held the defending Stanley Cup champions to only the third period without a shot in these entire playoffs. And the first period without a shot in their postseason franchise history. Now, granted, Pittsburgh's been to the Stanley Cup Finals now 6 times, winning 3. And they've had deep playoff runs outside of those 6 final appearances. So they've played a lot of playoff hockey. And that was a very big first. 37 minutes and 9 seconds. Between shots. It was just enough time for Nashville to come back. Pittsburgh scored again, capped it off with an empty netter, took game one. Now, if you sat and watched game two, you know that was a different story. Nashville, they did score first. It did count. Pittsburgh came back, equalized. First period 1-1, second period still 1-1. Third period, all of a sudden, the Penguins are lighting up for goals yet again. The fastest goal to open a period in their playoff history, 12 seconds. Then 2 seconds, so two goals 15 seconds apart, they salted away. 4-1, could have been 5, but this time, Penguins had a goal disallowed. Now, I wanted to come into tonight saying that this would be a very underrated series, especially to the series on the verge of tipping off, Cavaliers, Warriors, completing the trilogy, the rubber match, if you will. But sadly, the hockey gods haven't been too friendly to me. Now, granted, this could still go 6, it could still go 7. But now the pressure's on the Predators to hold serve. Win on home ice. Pecorine to play himself back into the Conn Smythe conversation as he played himself out of it over the past 2 games. The Predators can still score from nowhere. They still have a lot of guys who can put the puck in the net. Matt Murray has clearly shown his vulnerability. But, and as I said when discussing my prediction at the beginning of the series, Pittsburgh had the edge because of experience. Yes, they're beat to shit. Yes, they're tired. Yes, they've played 3 straight physical teams, Columbus, Washington, Ottawa. But they've been there before. Nashville hasn't. Now, maybe this series goes the way I want it to, especially to deny a certain sport from their entry into a certain city. Maybe it doesn't. But I do know that if things do not turn around quickly, this series is going to vanish into the dust, and it will somewhat undo what has been a great Stanley Cup playoffs thus far. Again, with the upsets, just with the play, the games themselves, hell, to even get to the Stanley Cup Final, Pittsburgh had to beat Washington, double overtime, game 7. Name another sport that had that situation. Yeah, it happens occasionally in basketball, but it's not really the same. Teams just keep going and going and fighting and fighting, no matter how long it takes or no matter how deep into the night, it's got to be settled. Now, I think the Preds can come back and at least make a series of it. We got some time now to before game 3. Teams rest up, lick their wounds, travel to the Music City. See even more catfish on the ice. Keep the tradition alive and this time not be arrested. Make this the underrated Stanley Cup final that I want it to be. Nashville, I know you can. I am not looking so much at you, PK Subban. You've been doing all right. Roman Yossi, Pecorine, Pekka, come on. You really want to win that Conn Smythe? You want to at least lift some sort of trophy? You gotta do better. Now, as far as this Cavaliers-Warriors series, I mean, yeah, I'm interested. Yeah, I'm gonna tune in and watch, but don't expect me to be terribly overhyped. I mean, Steve Kerr isn't behind the bench for game one, still recovering from surgery where they had to fix a leak in his spinal cord, which is giving him terrible migraines. You've got LeBron, the first non-Celtic, non-Montreal Canadien, to appear in 7 consecutive finals, and this streak could continue. 7 straight years he's played for a championship. So you're talking 100 games a year, every year, just to get this far. But here he is yet again. You can talk about the weakness of the Eastern Conference, true. You can talk about him being the greatest player possibly ever, working on through. I mean, just in these playoffs, even before getting to the finals, he passed Michael Jordan in all-time playoff points scored. Has almost right on 6,000 for his career. 6,000 points just in the playoffs. To do that, you would have to, in the regular season, if you played every game, you're talking averaging 70 a night, a little more. So even if you played every single game and you average 20 a night, that's nearly 4 years just in the playoffs. Not to mention what he's done this year in going, first of all, 12-1. Although, yes, the Warriors are the first team ever to start a playoffs 12-0. First ever to sweep 3 best-of-7 series. Again, doing this without their head coach. But having a streak of at least 30 points, breaking Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's in 1970. He had 9, I believe LeBron was at 10. 25 points and 50% shooting. Same playoff run for Kareem, for the Bucks in Milwaukee. LeBron's broken that too. So you wonder, how far can this man go? And especially if he wins again, wins another Finals MVP? This is a very sport-altering conversation here. And as for the Warriors, Steph seems to be just fine. Klay Thompson not doing too hot, not making the few shots he can. Draymond Green, Kevin Durant already paying off, coming to Golden State, getting into the finals, his first crack there. But in the end, it's really, here we go again. Potentially another 6-7 game series. It's going to be tough. I personally would say Cleveland winning. But Golden State's the one that needs the validation. some of the best regular seasons in NBA history, best regular season stretch in NBA history. But you've got the one title. Just the one. I know a lot of Dallas sports fans can relate to these sort of instances. You do great when it only counts to a certain extent. But then the more it counts, the less you tend to do. And for the Warriors, this is more validation for them than it is for Cleveland. They went out, make the moves to try to be the best, sacrifice in the regular season just for the playoffs after what happened last year. They've got 4 games to show out of 7 that it works. But living up to the hype, doing all this and that, I can tell you this series won't. No matter how it goes down, it's not going to live up to the hype because it's a here we go again. Same 2 teams, now a record 3 straight years. Best of luck to Cleveland. Not so much to Golden State. I don't really like you guys. Too big-headed, too much of a pompous, arrogant asses. Draymond Green popping off at the mouth just so he can get a little bit of spotlight to bathe himself in. But even that, bathwater goes down the drain. Spotlights fade. You actually had to do what you couldn't last year. Do your job. Show up. Take care of some things. Now, that said, there is a very little known playoff streak, tournament streak, however you want to call it. It's near and dear to my heart. As it's June, we're winding down on the college baseball season. The tournament is set, 64 teams, just like how men's basketball used to be, just how like women's basketball and softball is now. You got your regional hosts. You've got your field. And for the first time in nearly a half a century, University of Miami is not in that field. Now, I knew they were struggling this season. And as they were getting to the last couple of conference series, I'm like, it's an uphill road. Now, I figured, going into the last series of the season, they had to sweep Virginia Tech, which they did, get themselves in a good position in the ACC tournament, which, wasn't too bad. 6th seed, so they got a decent pool. Georgia Tech, Wake Forest. And I figured, once I saw the ACC standings come out, beat Georgia Tech, lose to Wake Forest, have Tech beat Wake Forest to get into a nice circle of death, see what comes out with that as far as winning the pool and going to the semifinals. Well, they did one better than that. Beating Georgia Tech and Wake Forest to get to the ACC semifinals against North Carolina, which I thought, okay, they got the sweep, 16-13 in the ACC. Great second half of the year. Got to the semifinal. We won't be hosting a regional, but at least we'll get in. Well, things were going great in the semifinal. Then a rain delay. And then North Carolina's bats busted open. wound up scoring 11 runs, and that was that. Now, as it was Sunday afternoon, he's doing a little show prep for Soccer to the Max, which you can hear on W2M Network, myself along with my awesome producer, Sean. So, couldn't catch the announcements live, but thanks to my handy phone, had all the news I needed right on Twitter. I'm sifting through, okay, national seeds, I knew we weren't going to be. That didn't bother me. Regional hosts, I knew we weren't going to be. That didn't bother me. But then as I saw the announcement of who was playing in each region, and then those fateful words, the field is set. I scrolled, and I saw Canes weren't in. Literally for the first time in my life, 44 straight years hosting a regional, going to a regional, and this goes back to the days where there were only regionals. Each one had 8 teams. Then you had the regionals and super regionals. Then when you got to Omaha, it went from a single national championship game to, in 2002, a best of three. The evolution of the tournament was very methodical, very well done. But Miami was always a part of it, was always there until now. I commend the program on such a great streak. Sad to see it end in kind of this of a way, but maybe this will be a wake-up call for the team itself, for potential recruits, because Miami, just like in all their sports, except for basketball, under the coach Jim Larrañaga, and yes, that is the correct way to pronounce his name, even though even he has said on record that it's been mispronounced ever since he was a kindergartner. They've taken steps back. Now the football team might be on the right track, finally. Now it's time for the other most well-known sport, baseball. Fantastic head coach in Jim Morris. He can recruit great players, but whatever it is you need to get yourself back in contention again, get it, do it, go. As long as you stay clean. Because baseball's been hurting a bit. Been a while since there's been a title, and I think the Hurricanes are kind of due. Especially now, to just stick it to Florida State, who, thanks to this tournament, has the longest streak of making the field at 40 straight years. If you can't do well to get back on the mountaintop, do well enough just to beat them. Beat FSU, just like you created all the hashtags throughout the course of the season. If you have to make that your objective, so be it. Do what you can to end their streak, just like ours ended. I'd be happy with that. Now, winding down, going into the latter stages of the program here, I've got to get this out of the way with this week in misery. Oh, the shakeups. Shaking up the White House, bringing in advisors that have no sense in being there. I'm assuming the President of the United States, under technicality, and former leader of the free world. Did he mean to say coverage? And what were you doing to tweet out Confefe at just past midnight? Were you eating something and your fingers were too greasy? You couldn't have been napping because it's part of your prime tweeting hours. I mean, what the fuck? Were you on some sort of medication we don't know about? You don't drink. So, what's this? And then all of a sudden, nobody in that White House, everybody is either too scared or has their head up their ass for this tweet to be out there for 6 hours? People have called me out on tweets that are up for 10 minutes. 6 hours? Do they know how long that is in internet time? In news cycle time? What the ever-living shit? Is this is what the top office of politics has devolved into? Yet more signs of a raving orange madman. And if that wasn't enough, if you love the environment, which you should, I think we should all try to do our part. Well, not doing your part just got a little bit easier as Trump will announce we're leaving the Paris Climate Accord. Meaning we're not going to stand alongside prominent European leaders and European leaders out of all over the world to voluntarily reduce emissions of greenhouse gases. We're not going to do that anymore. So it's going to be more smog, going to be more coal, going to be more dirt, going to be harder to get solar panels. You won't have to worry about electric cars as much. All of these things is part of the accord. That all of a sudden, we're done with. Thanks to a man who doesn't want to listen to anyone and really doesn't know anything about how macro scale economics work, had to be corrected multiple times about trade deals with Germany, even though BMW builds their cars here in the US. We have factories that he hasn't closed just yet. And the fact that Germany is not just an EU member, but alongside France, one of the top EU members, we don't have an individual trade deal with. No, we trade with the EU as a whole. That was even mentioned during the early stages of Brexit, which, thanks to Prime Minister Theresa May calling for an early parliamentary election 3 years ahead of schedule, that may or may not be a thing. Because while you have pundits and analysts saying that she has a 20-point lead over those like the Labour Party, there have already been rumblings and mentions of an upset. You've had reporters, talk show hosts, link Brexit to the fact that you have a majority Tory government. They really didn't like Theresa May. She was just the best one available. People keep saying that they were tricked when it came to the referendum, thanks to Nigel Farage and the UK Independent Party, which he tried to do a Cal exit. That was sniffed out that efforts were being led with a lot of Russian influence. So now he's just gone off into the ether. And personally, the way things are lining up, the UKIP may not even get a single seat in this election. None. Which means they will have no representation, no power, no influence, nothing as a party. And when that happens, not just your party being out of power, but you don't get a seat at the table, you are done. Just go back to the drawing board. And if that wasn't all enough, you had Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, not only in filling out a security clearance form, conveniently omitting he met with the Russians, just saying he didn't meet with anybody, which is bullshit, but requesting a back channel to have direct communication with the Kremlin. Now think about that. With the sanctions in place, which Trump is looking to start to reverse, as he's looking to hand two facilities that we have used, you could say they're black sites or what have you, but they're going back into Russian hands. The sanctions, they're meaningless now. Or they could be. So Rex Tillerson and that $500 billion deal on the table for oil drilling in the Arctic Circle, well, that's unfortunately back in play on a lot of levels. A lot of levels. All of it at the hands of a man who is admitted through his actions that he doesn't really like to read, and another man who I've never heard legitimately speak. Maybe some people have. I, for one, I know I haven't. I have not heard that man talk. Now, I hope there's some footage of him and interviews on YouTube. There should be. There better be, because the way that he's looking in these pictures, especially the one where he's outside at night and his head is covering up a moon, I don't expect him to be walking around in a suit or a black jacket. I'm looking for a cape stepping out of a coffin. Speaking in an Eastern European accent. Out on the prowl. These are the people who are leading our country. We're not stuck with them if the Republicans decide to actually do something about it, but we have them now. We don't have young leaders that stand up to people like Putin and give them the finger. Or leaders who understand about the nature of cyber intelligence. We don't have that now. Instead, we have a man who mindlessly tweets and doesn't know geography, and who curtsies. And another man who, as an advisor, now is under subpoena and has got to hand over information about his businesses. Everyone with ties is starting to become on that chopping block. Thankfully. I hope these investigations continue for the sake of our democracy, for the sake of our media, for the sake of our country. I hope they do. Because if they don't, well, you've already had the man with tiny hands who loves two scoops of ice cream tweet out that he wants to change the rules and do everything he can to hold on to his power. And what do you do when you get that? You become a dictator. your democracy disappears and you become a dictatorship. That's where we're heading at this point. Unless someone steps up, decides to finally go ahead and begin impeachment proceedings, so justice can slowly start to take care of itself and everything can be exposed. Whether he's convicted, whether he's acquitted, at least it would be out there. At least it's out there. And to wrap up this week in misery, well, Kathy Griffin, who admittedly I never really liked, not a big fan of her comedy, not a big fan of her shtick, especially New Year's Eve CNN, well, I don't have to worry about her anymore. She's lost that gig, she's lost advertising, for an advertisement deal with Squatty Potty, money's gone. Just like what happened with Bill O'Reilly. His attitude towards women. Sponsors just fled in droves. Sean Hannity and his conspiracy theories. Sponsors weren't too happy about that. So now he's on vacation. Trying to get groups of people together to target those like Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Joy Reid, to get their sponsors to leave because it happened to him. I don't know if he's checked the ratings recently, but that's going to fail miserably. Sponsors are making more money off of the MSNBC hosts. They don't have to worry about scandal or improprieties or lawsuits. Anything like that. Their worst thing was their 11 p.m. guy who was a lead anchor for the Big Boy Network lied. They banished him off to MSNBC and so far things seem to be paying dividends. NBC still wins. They're getting the ratings from him from MSNBC. They're getting what seems to be fantastic ratings from Lester Holt doing the nightly news on NBC. That got an even bigger boost because CBS, sitting in third place in that time spot behind World News Tonight, they got rid of a guy that I admittedly liked time to time as an anchor, and Scott Pelley. They've yet to announce a new host. Kelly's still going to get a gig. He's going to be full-time with 60 Minutes. But from the longtime staples and those of Walter Cronkite and Dan Rather, now you're just cycling through hosts to try to get something right. Ratings are a dirty game. Always have been, always will be. And unfortunately, people get moved around like a fucking chessboard, or even checkers, to try to get the right combination, the right match to be number one in every demographic, so you can go sell everything under the damn sun, from tampons to dick pills to whatever. Whoever's going to shell out money to have their product on the air. Be the pharmaceutical ad, which lists almost nothing but side effects, to cars, to God knows what. TV commercials are all a blur anyways, but unfortunately this is the world we live in. News programs are generated by ad revenue, which are generated by people buying time, and apparently Pelley ran out of time. Still going to be the CBS Evening News, fresh new theme song and all, but they're going to have someone sit in the chair, someone else. Now going back to my original point with Kathy Griffin, she, in a picture, did the whole blood coming out of her, whatever, a Trump quote that led to her holding a picture of what looked to be Trump's severed head. She came out, offered a good apology, but apparently that wasn't enough. So just like Scott Pelley, she's out. Up, gone. I don't even know if she would still be considered D-list anymore after this. But at least CNN won't have to worry about anything else from the FCC from whenever she's on New Year's Eve. Which, again, I found kind of stupid, but I guess it worked for some people. She was getting a paycheck, so whatever. But that's gone, and unfortunately this is the world we live in, to where you can't say what you want to say anymore, and that's what we were founded on. Everybody's so quick to get butthurt about something. Yes, with the Kathy Griffin thing, it lacked a little bit of taste. Yeah, I can see why she would need to apologize, but come on. Everybody got on Snoop Dogg for his video, which I thought was good. Everybody got on Stephen Colbert about a joke, which I found humorous, especially the aspects of truth. Everybody's just gotten scared. Why? Being scared is the opposite of the reason why this country got to be as big and bad as it was. Because we weren't scared. We sat, we listened, we understood each other. We at least tried to create open dialogues. But there was no fear. There couldn't have been fear. You either sit down and have a chat, or you go out, you take care of business. There's no fear involved. Just opportunities to get things done. But no. Is everybody's butt hurt and everybody can send an email and make a call and piss people off and get people to stop spending money and tie that to people earning a living? This is what we've devolved to. This is where we're at. Soon we're going to be in the Just Like You video. Everybody standing around wearing jumpsuits and masks. No individuality, no real freedoms, nothing. Nothing. If we keep rising up with our voices and crying out that this needs to be stopped, I think it will be. Because if we stop, they win. And they're going to keep winning until everything is shut down. So just think about that. When you get a little butthurt about something, you have the right to be just like I would have the right to be or anything, but is it really something that we can't just go ahead and move on with our lives? We can be offended by things. That's what free speech is about. We can open up dialogues and reveal uncomfortable truths and feelings and have conversations. Do we need to just instead use vengeance? Payback? That kind of thing is not a country I would want to live in. That's for damn sure. Now, want to close out this week's show with a little bit of advice. If you have time, And if you don't have any Epsilons present in your house or apartment or wherever you may be, everybody's turning towards Netflix. You got House of Cards coming back. You got all these other shows, fantastic programming, movies out of the ass. But for the first time, I'm going to offer my recommendation. And the fact that I've seen this movie, that should say something. The fact that, especially over the weekend at time, I was able to sit, digest it, and boy, was it a mind fuck. That should mean even more. Because very few shows get me to wonder what the hell just happened. Season finale of Lucifer, within the last 10-15 minutes. Wayward Pines, especially the end of season 2. And this movie, or rather these movies. Nymphomaniac Volume 1 and 2. Now, yes, I know if you've heard the hype and heard anything about them, it's about sex. And the main character's sexual journey, which I understand that. And everybody thinks there's going to be just like nudity and borderline pornography, and obviously with a subject like this, there will be nudity. There will be certain traits and things you find attractive. There are going to be certain parts of the movie where you're not going to want to wear pants. I get that. I went through that. But don't just look at these movies for that. Look at the creations for where they are. Situations that just not make you think, but on top of just making you think, presented well cinematically. A very good use of black and white. Transitions. You see all sorts of development in plot twists. Some of which you can predictably see coming, especially in Volume 1. But Volume 2, my god. Especially without spoilers, the last 5 to 10 minutes. I will say that if you pay careful attention, there's a lot of things that bring a lot of symmetry. And then all of a sudden that goes out the window. But naturally, of course, you should see Volume 1 before Volume 2, as is the natural order of things. But don't just have your hand in your pants. Sit and absorb. Let yourself kind of wander and muddle through. You might just be surprised. And then if you get through Volume 1, which is pretty easy, fantastic for a setup, it cuts off at a very good point in the story. Go ahead straight through to Volume 2. Or you can do like me and wait a couple days, but don't wait too long. Let Volume 1 be at least somewhat fresh in your mind so that you can understand the setup. Because if you can, Volume 2 will blow your fucking mind. There's a lot I didn't see coming. And this is someone who looks at the universe analytically, searching for patterns. It flapped me up. It got me going to sleep wondering, what the living fuck? Really? And it made me look at myself a little bit of a different way. I do that enough. Hell, hey, thanks to my best friend, she helped me do a little bit of damage control for some of my online adventures, which I might get into next week. But if you want a good mental experience and a good challenge, look at these two movies. See see beyond the sex and see for what the meaning of a lot of scenes in a couple different chapters really mean. You'll realize that you may just look at yourself and look at the outside world just a little bit funnier. Maybe in a bad way. Maybe not. I leave that exercise to the listener, to the reader, to the watcher, because I'm pretty much the viewer around these parts. Hate to break it to you. But alas, my time has come to an end, which is enough of my dulcet tones, as the viewer needs to head to bed. But if you like what you heard, feel free to look around iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, wherever you sign up for these podcasts. Rate me 5 stars. Tell me what you think. Subscribe while you're at it. I could use subscribers. Be my friend. Come on. I don't bite unless you ask. And that's only after some very, very stiff negotiations. Or if you don't want to hear me, go to w2m.net.com. Awesome producer Sean, Stephen Rachel Krieger. We got great podcasts, soccer, wrestling. You want arena football? We got This Week in the AFL. We got Soccer to the Max. We got video games. Podcasts and articles to your heart's content. You think I'm nuts? Tweet me at Squid Sportshead. If it's something about this you don't like, but other stuff that you do like, at W2M Sean, my awesome producer, tweet him, give him your thoughts. But still, check us out. Throw us a little bone, why don't you? But in the meantime, you're with a squid signing off, I'm reminding you, do your homework and never ever forget to be awesome.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.